following program is sponsored by House of Prayer.
House of Prayer Ministries continue to bring the message of the unadulterated gospel all over the globe. From the United States to Russia, from Latin America to Europe, we are a church committed to the preservation of biblical principles.
To the House of Prayer in America, you prayed for us. You thank you so much for the prayer.
Anytime out of prayer, you are encouraged and blessed.
You deposited in us a spirit of evangelism, which grew like fire.
You will see us at hospitals, nursing homes, and homeless shelters, at food banks, orphanages, and prisons. We're actively ministering in our communities and everywhere we go. With affiliates across all continents.
This is Levi Newman, reporting live from Jerusalem.
It was just a blessing to be able to be somewhere else and just to be able to witness to people and pray in a different country.
When they first built the church in Mexico, they go out.
And not only Mexico, but Brazil.
There are men and women all throughout El Salvador that long for the missionaries, the brethren, to come back to see them again because they saw something different.
With affiliates across all continents, we faithfully encourage pastors, workers, and congregations in churches and synagogues in many countries.
Every time that he was preaching, he would call me. He said, "Hey, you and your church, I need y'all to pray for me." He didn't have nobody else to pray for him.
We are a church without prejudices. We are a church without boundaries. And we are a church of all nations. Welcome to God's Heritage, the Women's Hour. I am Natalie Diaz. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's program is dedicated to Moriah Miche Dennis. Tonight, we are looking into the scriptural example of Abigail, a beautiful woman with a beautiful mind, as she had, is one of God's masterpieces. Abigail's loveliness and intelligence went hand in hand. Added to her charm and wisdom was piety. She knew God, and although she lived in such an unhappy home, she remained a saint. Last program, we began expounding on Abigail's virtues and how we can find in Abigail a more relevant example to follow in light of today's societal conditions. We are living in the last days, and Abigail summons us to trust and obey God above all. Ladies, let us never, ever, ever disrespect a minister. We learned that from Hannah on a previous program. And let us never evil entreat others. Let our orderly conduct prove our point, not boisterous arguments. Our lives are to glorify God, and proper conduct is enjoined for our own good. We do not add or take away from God by doing the right thing. It only benefits our own soul and those around us. God is God, all by himself. And we didn't do him a favor by obeying him. Our good example, however, will make an impact within us and all around us. Some will admire us, while others will hate us. But that's the outcome of taking up any cause in life. It is just a matter of choosing the right cause. And what better cause to choose than the salvation of our own souls. My sincere desire is that this program will bring you to look behind the veil of a religious facade that has discouraged so many, and that instead of finding fault with others, you will take up personal responsibility for the care of your own soul while avoiding damaging the faith of others. Judging others the wrong way will never get us anywhere. As Christians, we are called to judge all things. Yet, this is in order to avoid dangerous friendships and acquaintances. It is not to exalt ourselves as better than others. The wisdom and righteous judgment Abigail exercised did not cause her to dwell on her husband's inadequacies. The guy had no excuse for his lack, but Abigail kept working out her own salvation with fear and trembling. I said it before, and I'll say it again. We go to church collectively, but we live for God individually. Unfortunately, the wheat and the tares will grow together. But Abigail can teach us how to keep our hands clean. Let our tongue speak kindness, and to keep our conscience clear. Today, many women try to cultivate beauty and neglect their brains. But as for Abigail, her godly intelligence and piety is what made her virtuous, not her beauty. She possessed true discernment, a keen perception, and tactful words. Such are not naturally acquired attributes. They come from God. Abigail must have learned to share her lonely hours and her painful experiences with God. It was through prayer that God became to her, as it is written in Isaiah 54, 5-6. For thy maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. There is always someone among the body of Christ who has endured sicknesses, heartaches, and troubles the right way, because they have learned to make God their refuge. Let's take some time to listen to a lady who has done just that.
I never knew love until I started coming to the church to know what love really is. My love was very selfish. I thought that I was loving, and I really didn't understand. And I got invited to church through my son, and I came to the Tacoma church, and I met a group of sisters at that time, which expressed so much love, so much joy, to where I didn't think it was real, because I've never seen sisters so happy, and I doubted it, and I was like, this can't be real. But as I continued to come, I knew and I understood later why they were so full of joy and why they were so happy. And that's because they knew who love was. It's not that I don't go through trials, but it's only hard when we want our own way. My love is for God. I'm indebted to Him, and that's where I'm at no matter what the cost. I take a stand for God no matter what, especially when my husband is an unbeliever. He watches my life. He knows. I love my husband. I pray for him, but I love God more. At least he sees the Christ in me, and he knows that I love God. He knows there's a line that I can't cross. He loves me more because of that. I lost Kevin around this time, 2022, November 30th. I love him so much, but it was through prayer that got me through that. I never wanted to question God, even though I wanted to understand the why. I know that no matter what happened in my life, that God is in control of it all, and that His mercy and His grace sustained me, and how it kept me through those times, and how I just wanted to immediately share and run to others to let them know that we never know when and what time, and it doesn't matter the age. All that matters is that you give your life to Christ and to live unto God, because you never know if you're going to ever have that opportunity. So don't harden your hearts and turn your back, because this life is not worth it at all. I like what the scriptures say: what does it profit a man to gain the world and lose his soul? I'm thankful for the body of Christ. I'm thankful for the pastors, the preachers, the teachers, how we come together and care for each other. Yes, God is my anchor. He gave me. I found my strength in Him. I had to humble myself, not be bitter. I didn't want bitterness. I was taught enough through the Word of God, through the seminary classes. Just humble myself to know that God can give me the strength. I had to thank God for everything that happened, and it brought me through. Lord God, You know. You have all the answers. You're God. You're the Creator. You're my Lord. And I love You, and I need help. I know I'm not alone in this. So I know that it was a blessing for me to stay humble, to stay obedient, and to know that God's word is true. And it just never fails. It never fails. It never changes. And I know that no matter what I go through, there is no looking back. And that's my strength. I find strength in the Word. I find strength in knowing and expecting His coming. And my hope and prayer is to be there with Him. I love to always greet my brothers and sisters when we have fellowship together, even in spite of my circumstances. Yes, we're going to have pain and suffering. And I'll try to always look back on what the Word of God tells me, how we're going to suffer and go through things. And as I read the scriptures, I look at what Paul went through and other disciples went through. And I can do anything through Christ. But it wasn't that easy for me. It was through prayer. I started just praying and focusing on other things of being a blessing, and how it made me happy to do things for others. So it kept me not looking at my issues and my problems and things I go through. It just made me want to do other things to make others happy. Sometimes when we look at our circumstances, we seem to waver a little bit, but we know that when we get overwhelmed, we can always call on God and we can depend on one another. And I thank God for that, because I find strength in being there and encouraging sisters. And it doesn't matter if it's teenagers or whoever it is, I find joy in just doing that and helping them.
We can have joy in the midst of trials. Abigail's name means father of joy, cause or source of joy. True to the significance of her own name, she experienced that God, her father and provider, was her source of joy. The joy of the Lord enabled her to be independent of the adverse, trying circumstances of her home life. She is described as a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Abigail's husband, however, is described as a son of Belial, and a man churlish and evil in his doings. To be churlish is to be harsh, rude, and brutal. His name Nabal meant fool, foolish, vile, or stupid. Destitute of the finer qualities his wife possessed, Nabal was likewise covetous, selfish, and given to alcohol. He only thought about himself and his possessions. Here is where David comes into the narrative. These three persons, Abigail, Nabal, and David, are now brought together in a tragic way. David was an outlaw because of the hatred and cruel jealousy of Saul. He lived in the strongholds of the hills with his loyal band of 600 followers. Having often helped Nabal's herdsmen, being in need of a little food for his army, David sent a kind request to Nabal for help. In his churlish fashion, Nabal bluntly refused to give David a crumb for his hungry men, and dismissed David as a marauding hireling. Angered, David threatened to plunder Nabal's possessions, to kill Nabal and all his house. When Abigail learned this, she acted with thought, care, and great rapidity. This was a matter of life and death. She gathered food and grape juice, risking the displeasure of her husband, whose life was threatened. She was also risking her life to save him. Abigail rode on a donkey and encountered David and his men at the covert of a hill. What a momentous meeting it turned out to be. If she didn't dismount and hasted to meet David, who knows what would have happened? With discreet tact, Abigail averted David's anger over Nabal's insult. Abigail revealed her wisdom in that she fell at David's feet as an inferior before a superior. She assented with David in his condemnation of her brutal, foolish husband. She also placed at David's feet food for his hungry men and asked for mercy. At the opportune moment, her humble approach and beautiful appeal captivated the heart of David. As his own harp had appeased Saul, the sweet-toned voice of Abigail exorcised the demon of revenge. The large peace offering and her calmness soothed David's anger and gave her the position of advantage. Notice she did not attempt to check David's turbulent feelings by argument. Possessing heavenly intelligence, self-control, common sense, and vision, she won him by wise words. For her peace-making mission, she received the king's benediction in verse 23. After Abigail's successful, persuasive entreaty for the life of her worthless husband, the rest of her story reads like a fairy tale. She returns to take up her hard, bitter life again. She remained a loyal wife and protector of her worthless partner. She had taken him for better or for worse, and life for her was worse and worse. Abigail manifested a love stronger than death, as she had sworn to be faithful and would keep her vow. But the hour of deliverance came 10 days after. Nabal died by divine stroke. After Nabal's death, David communed with Abigail. This is a technical expression for asking one's hand in marriage. So Abigail entered upon a happier career. By David, she had a son named Chileab, or Daniel. The name Daniel means, "God is my judge." Likely, she chose her son's name because of her experience of divine vindication. As we conclude her story, let us erase the fairy tale ending and come back to reality. Was David able to make Abigail happy? The answer is no. Regardless, Abigail had a happy ending. She went on to face many difficulties, married to David during his time as a fugitive. Nevertheless, her circumstances were never able to discourage her, as long as she continued to make God her prayer by day and her song in the night. Now, I really want you to hear from this precious little girl, her testimony, and the experience she has been afforded within our girls' choir.
Hi, my name is Emma Rosa. I'm 5 years old, and I like to go to church with my mom and my dad and my little brother Israel. And I like to play the piano and sing. My favorite song is Waymaker, and I like to sing it in English and Spanish. I'm going to sing a little bit in Spanish. Aquí estás, sanando mi corazón, dadota de, te amamos, abres camino, cumple cobres, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios, así eres tú. And also, I like to help direct the girls' choir. And this is me directing the girls' choir.
In House of Prayer, we believe God at His Word. If we do our part, our children will be endowed with gifts from above. Thus, we teach our children and our youth the truths of God according to Scripture, not only in the classroom setting, but by allowing them to experience every part of the ministry with us. And of course, by letting them have lots of fun. These unforgettable experiences plant a seed that shall never be taken away from them. God's heritage carry with them the seed of righteousness, regardless of the path they choose to take as adults. Here is the sample of some of our children's choirs across the nation. We have put this together not to boast, but rather to encourage you in your Christian journey. Everything we do here is to the glory of God and for the furtherance of the kingdom of God on earth, which begins in our heart. We close this program dedicating it to Moriah Michelle Dennis, a very gifted young lady who has written many songs and poems to the glory of God. If you or someone you know is in need of prayer, we invite you to call our toll-free prayer request line there is someone standing by 24/7, ready to pray with you. Call 1-866-414-PRAY. That's 1-866-414-7729. Our international prayer request line is also available in several languages. Call us toll-free at 1-833-772-9482. Again, that's 1-833-772-9482.
He alone is your rock. Sirius XM Family Talk, 131.
Join Natalie Diaz as she brings out the stories of men, women, and children who have made a difference while working in the background.
The future seems uncertain, but there is hope. There is still a light shining. It won't always be this way.
Listen to God's Heritage, The Women's Hour, Saturdays at 8:30 p.m. on Sirius XM Family Talk, Channel 131.